The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is Eldon Preston. He's the Business Services Liaison for Michigan Thumb Works down in Marlette. We're going to be talking about a couple of programs coming up, they're coming up quickly, so you may want to register for them. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Craig.
Just a quick thing, ThumbWorks, what is it?
ThumbWorks, well, we are the workforce development agency for the Thumb region, and our main purpose is to get people connected to the jobs that they need and also to get the skills and the training that they need for those jobs.
And that's through Michigan Works, the state organization, and you're the regional one that makes it happen and customizes it to our area.
That's right. Everything we do, we tailor it for the needs of our community and specifically to the business community as well.
Because what's needed in Detroit isn't necessarily needed in the Thumb area.
No, we're very different up here in the Thumb.
Which I guess would lead us to the program you wanted to talk about that's coming up, because I don't think there'd be a whole lot of people in Detroit who would benefit from it, but up here it's a terrific program. It's
the Women in Agribusiness,
and it's the 2014 edition. Done these before, but you keep getting new people to come in, so it's not just a rehash, it's no. Fresh material.
No, absolutely, we have a new lineup of speakers every year, and this year is a phenomenal year because we have Luana K. Simon. She is the president of Michigan State University as our keynote speaker for this year.
We all know the MSU is an agricultural college, and the Extension Service comes out of there, so they're very big in agriculture, so mm-hmm. Women in agribusiness just kind of flows right in.
That's right. And who better to have speak, you know, for the ladies, for the women in agribusiness, but the president of MSU, you know, Luana K. Simons, it's perfect.
Who I think recently got a doctorate from Michigan, and there's probably some sword crossing you can do when you say howdy to her.
There you go.
And she's going to talk about the future focus on agriculture with MSU?
Yes. As you said, with MSU being the state's agricultural university, they're always going to focus on agribusiness. But just like the rest of the economy, agribusiness is changing too. You know, it's going high tech. I'm sure there's things with, you know, bioengineering and all sorts of the latest and greatest in the technology. And so MSU is going to follow the future and drive the future.
Because we would think of, you know, businesses, exports and such, but there's mm-hmm. a big trend now in agriculture for locally mm-hmm. grown.
That's right.
And that requires people locally to grow.
That's right.
So there's all kinds of different things going on in agriculture, and women That's are right. becoming more and more a part of it than they had in the past.
They have. And I think, you know, what we've seen quite a bit on the Thumb is because of that move towards locally grown, you're starting to see a lot of the farms that are moving away from the big commodity producers to a lot of the things are the value added, the specialty products, the specialty food products, and the all natural and the organic. And you're seeing a lot of the ladies are going into that line of business.
Well, it's a new area. You're not trying to bump out the old boys, so to speak, if we're going to get mm-hmm. too sexist about it. But, I mean, mm-hmm. you start something new, and you find your own niche.
That's right. And all of the traditional farms, they would not get where they're at without the ladies. And a lot of those farms are ran by the ladies. You know, the men might be out running the tractors in the fields, but it's the ladies that keep the business end of it going.
They do, and they know the regulations, they know all the things that keep mm-hmm. The business profitable.
And the ladies are right out there in the fields too with their partners. And a lot of the farms now are ran solely by women, and which is great. You know, it's really neat to see all the ladies that are in the farming industry, because they do a fantastic job.
We talk about the farms, so that's just the tip of the iceberg in agribusiness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have the CEO of the Co-op Elevators, a woman. I mean, there's opportunities out there that weren't necessarily out there just a few years ago.
That's right. I mean, you've got the things like the elevators. You've got finance. You've got, I mean, there's marketing. There is, the equipment, the electronics, all that stuff. It's a huge part of our economy, and women work and have careers in all of it, and they're a huge part of it.
And it stretches far beyond the farm, or even just the, there's tie-in businesses, machinery. There's the transportation. There are all kinds of other things that fly into it. When you think of agriculture, you kind of narrow it down to a barn and a silo, but it goes far beyond that.
Oh, it does. It does. And that's why we offer the different programs that we do for agriculture. Because for the whole state, when you take all those pieces and put it together, it is a massive part of the economy. But for our thumb region, it is the largest part of the economy. And we are heavily into manufacturing and auto, but when you put all the pieces together, agriculture is huge.
And I think we're like number two behind California in the diversity of agriculture that we have here in Michigan. So that's the diversity of possibilities that are out there.
That's right. That's right. That's why we do so well with agriculture in Michigan, because we have that diversity. When we have a year when we have a bad frost and it kills the fruit crops, well, there are other things that do well, and that keeps it going, or vice versa, and so that diversity is what keeps our agribusiness economy thriving.
And that's typical business diversity.
Yes.
That's,
yes.
That's one of the things you need to learn in business is diversify enough to survive the humps and dips that
That's
happen.
Right. A lot of industries could learn a lot from watching the agribusiness industry and all of the diversity and how it flows, as with the changes in the economy and as the future and how they evolve. We could all take some lessons from agribusiness and from the family farm.
Besides Ms. Simon, what other topics are you going to be covering here? If people want to maybe pique their interest if there's something in particular that they wanted to hear about or get involved in.
Sure. At all of these agribusiness events, we always have breakout sessions. And so we have four breakout sessions, and they are repeated. So people can take, they can take two. So you'd have to pick two. The first one is we're going to have a panel discussion of different businesses that deal with agriculture and talking about jobs and hiring and what are the trends, what do they see coming up for 2014 in hiring.
And things you may need to tweak in your resume to look better to a prospective employer, these types of things?
Well, they may talk about that, but they, I'm not sure what they will talk about. I guess it will... That's one of those things we'll have
exactly
to wait in.
What they were going to talk about, you'd give this speech.
That's right. Wouldn't be much of a panel discussion if it was all scripted. But, there's a wide variety. They'll probably talk about that. They'll probably talk about trends. What do we foresee we'll be hiring in 2014? We project we'll be hiring, 50 new people or, whatever there. Or maybe we'll be hiring two. I don't know. It depends on each individual business. And
so it's possible you could get a lead on a position.
Absolutely.
Or at least make an impression on someone you need to who could be instrumental in getting a position you might want.
Yeah. And see, that's one of the reasons why people need to go to these type of events. Because you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what connection that you'll make. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week. It might be 2 years down the road that it might be someone that you've met at one of these conferences and you got their business card. Say, hey, I've got this need. Wait a minute. Let me look through I met those at Women in Agribusiness. Let me give them a call. So, these things are, especially with jobs. If someone's looking for a job, networking is key. And meeting someone, if you've met somebody at a place like this and they said they were hiring and And if you need a job and then you talk to them, you've already got your foot in the door. Because when you get to that interview, hey, we met at the women, hey, come on in, have a seat. You know, how are you doing? And you've already made that introduction.
And they see through that you're actively involved in your own career.
That's right. That's right. So someone that's looking for a job, this is a perfect, if you want a job in agri business in some way, that's a good way. And for any of these events, that's a good reason to come.
Would it be a good idea to maybe bring a couple of resumes? Just in
you know
case,
what?
Keep them in your purse.
It never hurts. It never hurts.
Or do they not do that anymore? Do you give them a flash drive with your resume on it? I mean, I have been out of the job seeking market for what seems like eons, but I don't know if that's the way you do it now.
People still, you know, some of the old fashioned things never go out of style.
I didn't know if you needed little flash drive with your name on it or something, you know, that was going to
kind
of impress people that you were either that or they think you're chronically employed and you bought hundreds of these things.
maybe. You know, and that is something that's probably going to be more and more done. I think it would probably impress a business, but if I had to do it on a flash drive, I wouldn't just do a resume. I would do basically like a portfolio on the flash drive.
You could do a little video of yourself and chat a little bit, almost doing a half an interview if they wanted to look at it. Because a lot of times they just kind of look at the beginning and they don't do a lot. But if you can pique their interest by what is all this other on here, maybe you get a little further in the door.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Then they've got a couple other. The next topic is they're calling it smartphones, laptops, and more. So that's basically kind of what you're talking about. It's all the new technology. And, well, for younger people, that's not new. That's what they've grown up with. But for me, it's new technology. But
and for some businesses, it's new technology. They're developing apps. They're looking to see that people can, you know, use these types of devices to be efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And agribusiness is no different. I mean, there has got to be a lot of ways that all of these new gadgets, new apps, new software can make them more efficient, more productive. And why not take advantage of it like everybody else? And that's the name of the game, is being more productive and being more profitable. So those are always good tools.
Probably not Facebook so much, but some of the other things.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the
businesses, though, usually do have a presence.
Oh, yes. They do a lot, especially if it's a business that is doing the locally grown food and doing the farmer's markets. Things like Facebook is huge with that. It's massive. I mean, they put on their Facebook, they have followings where they say, hey, all right, we're going to be at the Harbor Beach, the Port Austin farmer's market on Saturday, and I've got a brand new, I just picked the peach. We've got 10 bushels of fresh peaches off our trees we're going to have there, and they're right fresh. Come up here Saturday and get them. So they've got people that watch those Facebook pages, and they go to these different places based on what's on the Facebook. So, that's huge with some of that agribusiness
stuff. Especially, I would think, in the smaller businesses.
Oh, yeah.
The bigger businesses, they can have advertising budgets and such, but... But the smaller ones, word of mouth is very, very important.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then the social media that just amplifies, word of mouth and makes it go even further and faster.
And businesses want to know not only what to put on there, but what not.
Yes.
To get themselves in trouble.
Yes.
I mean, there's a double side to that coin that you have to know both ends of the spectrum, and so that you're not causing waves and such.
Yeah, yeah. And she might get into some of that, but again, that's people have to come and see what
all we can
they
do
talk
is give
about.
Them an idea what the
that's
topic
right.
is and where it may go, and,
that's right.
and let the speaker do what they do best.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got the next one. The latest from MSU Extension. So we've got the director from the MSU Extension from MSU, Thomas Kuhn, coming to talk about the latest from the Extension. So that's
probably
always good.
Carpool with Ms. Simon.
Maybe. Maybe.
And again, the Extension offers a lot of services to farmers, but there's also careers and opportunities within it.
Absolutely.
And And a lot of it, you know, isn't even, you know, we have, there's 4-H, there's all kinds of things that, you know, aren't necessarily, you know, directly related to a farming business, but they're developing the youth to take over. I mean, there's all different aspects that fall into this.
Oh, yeah. And MSU Extension, it's a huge resource. And they do a phenomenal job of bringing educational opportunities and programs and stuff to the region. And, you know, if we can work together and partner with them and share, you know, what they have going, and if they can share, you know, what we have going, it only makes the whole area better.
And they're constantly changing and evolving as well with the trends. And it used to be, you know, every area had certain agents and such. Now they share, now they're online. Now you can talk to somebody virtually. There's a lot of other information that wasn't necessarily available before because of the distances.
Yeah,
that technology has solved.
Yeah, and that's great because, like you said, it brings more information available to more people, and it brings more knowledge and more abilities that people would not have otherwise had access to.
And it's always great. A need for people to coordinate that information to make it sufficient, make it available, and again.
Yeah.
Even being a computer tech person, you could be in agribusiness.
That's right. That's right. Because right now there is so much data out there. There is so much knowledge out there. It's easy just to become just overwhelmed with it all. And to have someone that can help coordinate that, help bring that into the community in some form of a organized fashion, that helps. You know, because you don't have to weed through it and all yourself. Someone can help bring that to the community in an organized way and in a productive way.
And through word searching and such, you can narrow down to exactly what it is you're trying to find.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. And you have a fourth one.
It's the East Michigan Prosperity Region. The leaders from that, what that is going to be, our Michigan Works had been traditionally split into several different, I believe it was 25 different service delivery areas. And of course ours is the Thumb region, here on San Lake, Tuscola, and Lapeer County. But the state is realigning all of its different organizations, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, the Small Business Development Centers, these different types of organizations that impact business in some way or the economy in some way are being realigned into a more efficient structure. And so we are going to be part of the East Michigan Prosperity Region, which is going to include our counties, but now is also then going to include Genesee, Shiawassee, and St. Clair County. So it's basically the I-69 corridor, then with us extended up to the north. And
that's going to be ThumbWorks whole territory, or just you're just part of this East Michigan?
We will be part of that. We will still have our own identity as ThumbWorks, but then we're going to also work together as this greater region and bring greater opportunities for special projects, for taking the types of things that we've been doing, but taking it to the next level. And it's really neat.
Some people, you know, roll their eyes and say putting Flint in anything you call prosperity region isn't going to work. But
some probably say that about the Thumb too. So everybody has their own opinions about everything, and but I think it's a good thing, you know.
Well, we're tied to these, you know, there's a border, and things just don't stop at the border.
That's right.
And if you can you know, reach out a little further and get more involved, why not?
That's right. And that's one of the beauties of the prosperity region, is that some of the borders are being erased. And so it's more of the natural flow of, you know, who do we work with, you know, what, not some artificial border that was, you know, created, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But what is more of a natural flow in the economy, and it can flow that, follow that natural flow a little better. But I think it's an excellent thing having that, because we'll be able to do even bigger and better things, even more special programs that we'll be able to bring and impact a larger audience. And so we're going to have the leaders from that region. So it would be from our area, from Flint and from Genesee, Shiawassee, and from St. Clair County to come talk about, you know, where do they see that going? What are the positive impact and positive results we can see for our economy because of joining forces and working together?
And as far as agribusiness goes, mm-hmm. we go south to 69.
That's right.
That's how we get our goods around.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It kind of flows that way, north and south, right. I guess, until it hits east and west, and then it's mm-hmm. everywhere.
That's right. That's right. So I think it'll be a good fit. You know, it'll be a good partnership.
And people get to pick two.
Right. They get to pick two. So, you know, you can pick up front or decide that day. But you don't. When they register, they don't have to pick up front. They just choose which room to go to while they're there.
Okay. And how do they register? Because you say there's... mm-hmm. Short time for this. It's January 24th when this is happening. That's just a week or two away.
That's right. That's right. So if you'd like to come, you would just call 989-635-3561, extension 221, or extension 226.
And let them know you want to learn more about the Women in Agribusiness 2014 program. And I'm sure you probably have some of this online as well. Some
absolutely.
Flyers and brochures and information. If they went by and they're in the car or something and they, you know, I don't want you writing things down while you're driving. It's not enough texting. Mm-hmm. But you can go online to Michigan Thumbworks and find a lot of this info.
Yes, our website is thumbworks.org, and they can also find us on Facebook at Thumbworks Jobs. And I'm sure this will be on all of those. We're also on Twitter and LinkedIn. And but it will definitely be on the website at thumbworks.org, and all the information will be right there. Please call and register 635-3561, extension 221 or 226, and we'll get you signed up. We usually have an average of 80 to 90, you know, ladies in attendance, so we've got plenty of space. We've got lots of room. Please call and register as soon as you can.
And you just need to know the numbers primarily because you've got a lunch afterwards. You've got all mm-hmm. the things you have planned, enough seating and such. So it makes it more convenient when they come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've got a great opportunity with having the president of Michigan State as our speaker. And we need to have a full house. If she's taking the time to come out to little old Marlette, Michigan, we need to have a full house. And so, please come. If you have any interest, please register and please come and hear what Ms. Simon has to say.
Okay. There was another program you wanted to talk about before we wrap things up. I know there was another program coming up a little later this spring, but an important one for farming interests again.
Yes. This is one we also offer every year. It will be coming up on February 28th. From 8:30 till 12:30, it's the pesticide safety day, and it does get some of the credits that people need towards renewing their applicators license. There's different; they get possibly the core credit. I know they'll get 1B and 1C, and they may also get CCA credits as well. And it's a really good day. We talk a lot about different topics related to pesticide application and the environment and safety and emergency planning and all those things that affect not only people's businesses, but it affects our entire community and the environment in which we all live and work and play in, and keeping that safe for everybody and not contaminating it. And it's really good. And it's very informative, and you get some credits, so you can renew your applicator's licenses. So,
is it one big program, or is there like break-off groups depending on what type of credits you need, that type of thing?
Yep. Well, this there are several different sessions. They're shorter sessions, about half hour each, but they're not breakout sessions where you have to pick, you know, two of the four. It's you get to go to all the sessions.
Oh, okay.
And they starts at 8:30, and we'll have, you know, our welcome. And then we're going to talk about the next topic will be MAEP verification, why you want to do that. Then the next one will be chemical labels and how to understand those. Then spill and chemical safety. And then we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about drift management. Then farmstead emergency planning. Then pesticides, how they work, how they degrade, and then IPM selection. Then we're going to talk about a case study of the erosion control and the Cass River project, how that's worked. And then energy efficiency and farm profitability. And then the MDARD, MDARD pesticide record keeping will be the last topic of the day. And so it's a good full day. It's a lot of good topics that really are very beneficial and very important for keeping our farming community safe and handling things in a safe manner and not contaminating things unnecessarily.
And also saving you money by not using more than need to, by applying it appropriately, knowing when you have a problem, when to apply, if it's going to be a waste. There's a lot of information that goes on there that also up the bottom line.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, that's key. I mean, if you don't, why would you, like you said, why would you waste putting all this extra pesticide or all this extra fertilizer, just having it run off and not really do any good?
Or know that it's going to rain the next day. Why would I do this? Because it's all going to fall off before it has a chance to soak in and work.
That's right. That's right. So it's all very important for the bottom line and for the community, and it's really good.
And you also need to know when to apply as far as your harvest dates,
because
a lot of times you have to let it. You got to have a certain period so it can cleanse out of the system of the plant.
I see.
That it doesn't end up
in the harvest
product.
Okay.
So there are other things that you need to know about when you're using pesticides.
Sure.
That's part of why they have this credit system is that you keep up with it, with all the changes in pesticides and such. You need to keep up with it, and it's nice of you folks to put on a program that helps the local area farmers do this.
Sure. Well, and so that's why we offer it, because it is so important. And that's one thing that we pride ourselves in is we do our best to offer things for the business community that benefits them. You know, things that we try to tailor what we do to the needs of our local community. And when businesses have a need, we try to bring something to address that in some way.
And that's part of what they can do if they contact Michigan Works, is if they have a need. You mentioned there was a job fair or something at a business a while back that you put together for them that they needed. I mean, these are the types of things that they need to contact you. You don't necessarily know they need it. They need to let you know that they need it.
That's right. That's if there's any business out there that needs help in any way, if it's help in locating some good candidates, or you would like us to host a job fair, or our people really need some training in this certain new software that's coming out, or there's really some, could you offer this program about, we're a new startup and we really don't know how to do a marketing plan. I've never had any, I've got this idea, but I don't know how to sell. Could you teach a sales training class? Whatever, call us and we will do what we can to make it happen for you.
And that's what you're there for. That's the whole point is jobs and business and to keep the area flourishing.
That's right. And that's what we're here for. And they can always, there's three of us in business services, myself, Sheila Rock, and Matt Hahn. They can contact us at any time, if there's a need that you have. We really, a lot of what we do is working with companies and finding the talent that they need. And we're here any day.
Because you have like a monthly video interview type of program that people can see, and they're archived. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to be there at the live part of it. You can see the archive of it. If you're looking for people, there might be a way to find people if you're having trouble who have the skills and bring them in. There's a lot of things that are offered even on a regular basis. If you go to the website, you can probably find out more about that.
That's right. And I believe it's going to be on the 23rd. For this month, and we are actually partnering, doing one of these new joint ventures with this regional prosperity region. We are actually partnering with Genesee Shiawassee, and we're going to do a two-part broadcast. It'll be here in Marlette, and then also down in Flint. They'll be broadcasting from Flint also. And it's going to be on the 23rd. If you want to be a part of that, call our number in Marlette. The same number to register, for the agribusiness. I would just call and tell them you would like to register for the virtual job fair. And it's absolutely free, and it is a perfect way to get your face and name recognition out there in front of possibly hundreds of businesses all at one time.
And you just don't dump these people on the air. You give them a little, you know, a little heads up, you know, this look at the camera, you know, all these other techniques mm-hmm. that people are afraid, you know, the mm-hmm. how this is. Or maybe watch it the first time and just see what people do, and maybe it won't be quite as scary.
Absolutely.
People come in here to talk and think it's scary. And, and I'm not a real scary person, but I try not to anyway. But, you know, you can get past that and get your face and your name out there. And it gives them not just the piece of paper, but that direct looking, the mm-hmm. contact is a little better that way.
Yeah.
They get to see what kind of person you are.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's far better than a piece of paper, because they get to see your personality. And one of the things that we do with this virtual interview, most first interviews, they're looking for who they can cut. It's kind of a narrowing down process. So you'll get a lot of the questions, more the negatively geared questions, like, well, why did you leave that last job? You know, oh, they let you go? Oh, well, tell me about that. You know, elaborate. Why did they let you go? You know, and they're looking for reasons to narrow that down. And where with this, we skip all that. And with our virtual job fair, we are going right to, what are your positive things? What are your strengths? What are the good things that you bring to the table, the benefits that you can provide to that company? And we skip everything negative 100% and go right into, what can I do for you to meet your needs? And so it's great. It's a really good way to get a positive message out about yourself right from the get-go.
And all of this information available on the website,
yes.
How to participate, how to, if you're a business owner, how to view it, all these types of things, and and see what's available and what might fit your business or your personal needs,
yes.
in job hunting or bettering the job you have now.
That's right. And now for the job seeker, they would want to call our number in Marlette to register. Now for a business, they'll need a password to view it. And so they want to contact either myself or Matt Hahn or Sheila Rock. Or they could also call the number in Marlette to get the password. But
basically, so you know who's watching. Basically, so you know you're not jamming up the system by gawkers as opposed to mm-hmm. the people who will actually result in a job later.
That's right. And we do that for the benefit of the people that are, they're putting themselves out there by doing that online video. They know that the only ones that we give passwords to are legitimate businesses that we've talked to, that we know who they are, that their video is just not being splashed out there, and who knows who
not
is seeing
be on
it.
YouTube,
no,
later on.
No, absolutely not. No. So that it gives them a little more peace of mind, because it is a it's not an easy thing for some, you know, for most people to say, hey, I'm going to put myself on front of a video camera and I'm going to do this video to put out there. It's nervous. It makes people nervous. And it's one way to give them a little more peace of mind that they know that we keep a control on who sees that.
And as I understand it, it's pretty much done live. You have mm-hmm. one person in there. They have mm-hmm. their time allotted. Time's up. Mm-hmm.
And that's right.
Back in a minute or two when the next person sits down, and
that's right.
Away we go again. So, yep. you know, they get to see you, you know, on the cuff as opposed to polishing it all up.
That's right. That's right. There's no editing. There's no redos. It's you. What you see is what you get. And but our interviewers are phenomenal at really helping people feel comfortable and helping them to bring out their best points. And so there really is no need for retakes, because it comes, the first take comes out beautiful.
And do the people watching get a chance? They may be able to, you know, text in a question or two or whatever, so there is some interaction? Mm-hmm.
There is a live chat feature to it, but we do not connect that to the interviewer and interrupt the interview process. So there really aren't questions on the fly. Our very first one we did, you know, about 2 years ago, we tried that, and it just didn't function real well. And so we don't do that, but there is that live chat function, which somebody does monitor, which usually what that is doing is, if they see somebody they like, then they tell it live instead of, you know, waiting and then maybe getting busy and forgetting to say something. They go on the chat live and say, hey, right when it's happening. I really like that person and that person monitoring. We have all their resumes electronically on another file. And so when they send those in, he gets on his email, boom, sends that out right there live, right on the spot. They get those resumes for the most part. And it works really well.
Sounds like job of future.
It is. It is. It's really neat. And it's very well done. And
You guys kind of pioneered it, didn't you?
So far, we're the only Michigan Works that does anything like this, probably the only workforce development agency across the whole country that does anything like this. And it's our video production company is our own local Casey Turner here from the Thumb, Turner Arts. Does a wonderful job with the videography. We couldn't ask for a better video production crew to come out and do that.
Well, you don't want them looking green and sickly.
No.
The impressions that's right. to the eye is right. different than what you're reading.
Oh, yeah. It's very well done, very professional, and it's a great opportunity to get your name and face, you know, recognition out there. And, you know, it's one thing to walk into an interview and they've had your resume. It's another thing to walk in and they recognize your face. Oh, yeah, I remember you. I saw you on the website,
and then you can do the face. Oh gosh, oh shucks, type of thing, and then it just goes from there.
Mm-hmm. But that, I think, mentally, that face recognition, that they feel they know you, I think that'll take that first interview to the whole next level because of that.
We're coming close to the end of our time here. Women in Agribusiness 2014, Friday, January 24th. Go to the ThumbWorks website or call them at 989-635-3561, extension 221 or 226, and they can register you for that and be a part of it. And then there's the Pesticide Safety Day coming up the end of February, the 28th, 8:30 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. Again, go to the site and you can register by the site or by calling and get all the information you need and find out what kind of credits you can get for your certification for pesticides and all of that.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Our guest today on the program has been Eldon Preston, Business Services Liaison for Michigan Thumb Works in Marlette. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.